Father, we are grateful today for another opportunity to look into the Word of God. We thank Thee for the blessings of the day. We ask that Thou wilt keep our hearts close to Thee always and enable us to walk in the Spirit that we might be well-pleasing to Thee. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the 18th chapter of the book of the Revelation, which we are studying together. We have attempted to prove to you from the Word of God that the city of Babylon, that people think was destroyed finally and forever, will be rebuilt and will become the seat or the throne or the capital city of the Antichrist. In our last broadcast, we attempted to speak with you about what the future city of Babylon would be like. And we had time to notice one thing, namely, that the city of Babylon will be a very, very wicked city, the wickedest city that perhaps this world has ever seen. As we continue thinking along that line, the facts we find in Revelation chapter 18, we call to your attention verse 9, where we find suggested to us that Babylon will be the world's wealthiest city. This city will be a great seaport city that will influence the whole world. It will be the commercial metropolis of the entire world. And that certainly is indicated to us when the destruction of the city is presented to us. Notice the 9th verse. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. The city of Babylon will be a source of great wealth for all the kings of the earth. It will become the center of their attention. It will have influence on the whole world. And when its destruction is made known, there will be worldwide mourning. Notice verse 19. They cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her wealth, for in one hour she is made desolate." The whole world will beat a path to the city of Babylon, because through her the entire world will be made rich. It will be a city of great frivolity, a city of great merriment. It will be the resort area of the entire world, because if you will glance at verse 22, you will see that when silence is brought to the city of Babylon, there will no longer be the voices of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters and so forth. This great city, known for her noise and her merriment and her frivolity, will be brought to utter dead silence. That this city will be one of the wealthiest cities this world has ever known, dealing with all the wealth of the world, is re-emphasized in verses 12 and 13. When she is destroyed, they read, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour so great riches are come to naught." The city is described as it is in chapter 18 to remind all the people who will be living during the tribulation, who have any interest in God at all, that they must not have any interest in this particular city. In verse 4, you will notice an invitation issued to all such people. John said, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not her plagues." You can't live in such a city as Babylon without becoming involved in it. In references to the city of Babylon made elsewhere in the Scripture, a comparison between Babylon and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah is presented. You will remember that Lot, a righteous man, took up his residence in the city of Sodom and became hopelessly involved in all the activities of that city. God could not destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah until after Lot was removed. So it will be in relation to the city of Babylon at the end of the age. God cannot destroy it until those, not we of course, we will be gone, until those who have placed their faith in Christ during the tribulation are removed from that city, principally the Jews, because my people, in verse 4, is a reference to the Jewish nation. We might pause long enough to emphasize a lesson here today. If people of the past found it difficult to live in wicked cities without becoming involved, how careful Christians ought to be in selecting the places of their residences, remembering that it's possible to become too involved. The removal of these people from the city of Babylon will open the way for her destruction. Her destruction, as we see, glancing at chapter 18, is a sudden destruction. The reference is made in verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. Elsewhere in the chapter, not the phrase one day, but the phrase 1 hour is used. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. The destruction of the city of Babylon will be sudden destruction, we repeat. And if you are wondering what kind of destruction the city of Babylon will endure, we should turn first to chapter 16 and notice again verse 18, where we read, there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. That earthquake, as we mentioned earlier in our discussions, affected the city of Babylon, according to verse 19. So this sudden destruction of the city of Babylon will be initiated, we believe, by a great earthquake which will cause the city to fall. Then if you will look at chapter 18 again, you will notice that that earthquake will bring a fiery end. For we read in verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Then notice verse 9, the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. If you will glance at verse 21, you have an illustration of how God is going to judge this city of Babylon, yet to be rebuilt. For there we read, and a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall the great city of Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. A great earthquake occurring topples the city of Babylon to the ground, and everything within it is consumed by fire. It's an interesting thing to notice in articles which you read related to the location of the city of Babylon, that the present city of Babylon is being rebuilt over a bituminous field. It's a molten coal under a light crust of the earth. It seems significant to me that the earthquake about which we read in Revelation 16 could very well split through, open up the crust of the earth, and fires that are underneath the earth could be let loose for the destruction of the city of Babylon. Will you turn with me to the second epistle of Peter and see how God intends that everything should happen? He has stored away fire for that very purpose. Sometimes we read articles in which scientists tell us why they think it is and why they think it's there, but the Bible says that God knows it. God knows it's there, and he put it there for a purpose. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the apostle said, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, now listen closely, which are now, that is, which are in existence now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Notice verse 10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I am aware that this passage of Scripture is talking about the manner in which the Lord is going to deal with the entire earth by fire. But I ask you to turn here to see what we said about the manner in which the city of Babylon is to be destroyed is consistent with what we are told is going to occur at the end of the age in relation to the destruction of the earth. So we would remind you that the city of Babylon is being rebuilt. When it reaches that stage and that influence to become the capital of the world, the Antichrist will move his throne of government there. The United Nations will move there, because the world in the beginning of the tribulation will be ruled by the Antichrist and 10 nations. They will have the last say and the last word. Naturally, this would be their choice of capital for the world empire. Are you thinking with me now? If the city of Babylon is to be rebuilt as a capital for the Antichrist, and if we are to have a definite statement by man who was there and saw it in the purpose of being rebuilt, wouldn't it be common sense to think that we are approaching the end of the age? Oh yes, beloved, we are. The end of the age is not far off, and we certainly need to make ourselves ready. I hope you are.